Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Ephesians chapter 6, please. We continue in our study of Ephesians, and this day we are going to be in verse 11, putting on the full armor of God. It may also be very helpful to you to have this piece of paper entitled Discovering Your Priceless Treasures in Christ. Make yourself bulletproof. Now, we've already studied the belt of truth. Now, the belt of truth is linked to John 8, verse 32. And John 8, verse 32 tells us that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's imperative that you understand the two great facts. God is real. His word is true. So we start right here. We start with truth. And then today, we're going to move to the second piece of the armor. It is called the breastplate of righteousness. And let me create an analogy. I think in a picture form. And it's putting on a vest. This is a policeman's vest. It's actually owned by none other than our own Chris Murphy. Now, you may not have known it, but Chris Murphy, who is the current Montgomery Director of Public Safety, in 1982, he became a Secret Service man. And oh, you should hear his stories. And so this is his real deal police vest worn by none other than Chris Murphy, who is a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, and he can shoot straight. That's a good combination right there. So you got Chris's vest. Now he wears this vest when he is in a danger zone. And I want to suggest to you that you need to learn how to put on your vest. Your vest called righteousness. And let me suggest the reason. Remember, you are on a battleground, and you need protection. Let's pick up on what Paul had to say, inspired by God's truth, as he was in prison, chained to a Roman soldier. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 tells us, "Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now let me plunge into the explanation of what righteousness looks like. When Paul was chained to that Roman soldier, he had at least six pieces of armor. And a key piece of the armor was this bronze breastplate. Historically, some of the Roman soldiers actually wore a leather breastplate, and it had some metal attached to it. This is the real deal right here. This is a protective coating of armor so that your vital organs are protected against the spear and the arrow and the sword. Now, what is the equivalent of that? Why did Paul link it to righteousness? Well, let me explain it. You see, righteousness is being right with God and doing right for God. Righteousness is being right with God and doing right for God. That's borne out in the definition. Dikaiosune is the Greek word for righteousness. It's used 228 times in the New Testament. In the book of Romans alone, it's used 40 times. It's as if God is hammering into us, into his people, the need for righteousness, being right with God and doing right for God. Now, the pivotal area is that you understand that God sets the standard for righteousness. You don't set it on your own. You see, God sets the standard of righteousness. It's not up for grabs. It's not subjective. God has already said it. You see, if there's no God, then what's right and wrong is like yummy or yucky. It's just your preference. But God has set a standard for righteousness. I read an interesting survey by a man named Dennis Prager. And he was asking young people from 18 to 30 what they thought was right or wrong. And here was a representative response. A 24-year-old gentleman said from Colorado, "I guess what makes something right or wrong is just how I feel about it." That's wrong. I mean, he may think he's right, but that's wrong. Because there is an objective standard of truth that God has already set up. In the survey, they asked this very illuminating question. They said to the people, if there was an emergency and there was a stranger in jeopardy for their life and your dog in jeopardy for its life, in that emergency, which one would you save? 80% said their dog. You see, that's what happens when you don't have an objective standard of what's right or wrong. Don't know a stranger, you love your dog, you choose the dog over humans. So we kill babies and save whales. That's our day, that's our culture, friends. So the Bible says we need to put on this vest, this standard of righteousness. There are two components of it, and I need you to understand this. This is vitally important to the way the rest of your spiritual journey will unfold. You need these two understandings, these two components of righteousness. Number one, please make this note, the transaction of salvation. The transaction of salvation. I want to explain to you biblically and clarify what happens when you are saved. The Bible gives us several pictures of our salvation. One is located in John chapter 5, verse 24. And there Jesus says, when you come to Him and trust Him, you pass out of death and into eternal life, and you no longer come into judgment. That's good news. You're no longer condemned to die. You're no longer dead in your trespass and sin, but you're alive in Christ. You have life. Another picture is found in 1 Peter 2:9. And we learned that we are a kingdom of priests and that we have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, that satanic realm of darkness, and into the kingdom of light. That's also a beautiful metaphor. But let me give you another one that is so rich. And it's this picture of being re-robed, putting on this vest of righteousness. And it starts, let me explain how it works. Number one, you got to remove your rags. You've got to remove your rags. Since we're talking about clothing here, let me weave together a few threads of truth. The first is there on your worksheet, remove your rags, which means in Romans 3, verse 9 and 10, both the Jews and the Greeks, in other words, everybody, are all under sin, and there is none righteous, not even one. The Bible tells us in Romans 3, 23, all have sinned. That's everybody. And Romans 6, 23 delivers the punch, the bad news, that the payment for our sin, the wage of our sin, is death. And that is a special word meaning that we are forever separated from God. He is life, so if we're separated from Him, we get death. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, well, I understand that, but I mean, when I look in the mirror, I think, what's not to love? You got a really good self-image. You're thinking, how could God not love this? Moi. Well, could I pop your bubble? We learn in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, that compared to God and His righteousness, we're like, even our best is like a filthy rag. In other words, when God looks at us, do you know what He actually sees? Do you know what He sees? Filthy, that's what He sees. You're just a filthy rag, that's what He sees. Oh, you think you're so good looking and what you do is so fine? No, that's not what God sees. Now, you compare yourself to a molester, to a murderer, to a terrorist, to a torturer. Yeah, you're pretty good by that standard. But you don't get to set the standard. You see, what God wants to do is have you remove your filthy rags. Quick mental exercise. Think of the filthiest, dirtiest clothes you've ever worn. Ever. Oh. I think of the time I was a seminary student in New Orleans and I was working for the Yellow Freight Company, and I would go out and unload these big freight cars in the New Orleans sweltering summer. I'm talking about hot, dirty, filthy in the back of this 18-wheeler trailer. And I can remember coming home and being so dirty, so caked with sweat and salt, that I had to take the hose and wash myself off in the grass before I even walked in to peel off these filthy clothes. That's how God sees us spiritually. So I want you to understand, the first order of business is taking off your filthy clothes. And see, when you remove them, you're basically admitting that you got a problem, you're a sinner. And you're repenting, you're turning to God, which takes us to number two, receive your robe. That's what God wants to give you. He wants to robe you in the rightness of Jesus Christ. See, the scripture declares, please look again at your worksheet in Romans 3:22, receive the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. 2 Corinthians 5:21 further illuminates us. It says, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on your behalf. Why? So that you could become the righteousness of God. This is called theologically positional righteousness. So when God looks at me, he no longer sees the filthy rag. Do you know what he sees? Do you know when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, do you know what he sees? This is so incredibly exciting. He sees you robed in the blazing, radiant righteousness of his Son. He doesn't see those filthy rags, your pretend righteousness. He sees Jesus. That's why you can't go it on your alone, friends. You need his help. And that's what happens when you give your life to Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, I lived in Washington, D.C., and I went to this really fancy restaurant on Connecticut Avenue. A friend was going to treat me to a special event, and so I didn't realize what was coming. It was a surprise, and we walked into this place called Duke Zebert's. I mean, it's big time. And I was underdressed. What do you expect? I'm from Alabama, I told him, and I just didn't realize you had to have a coat and tie. And so you know what they did? They got me a coat and tie. They allowed me to take what I didn't have and come up to their standard. Now, that's God. He has a standard. And let me give you a biblical illustration of that. It's in Matthew chapter 22. Make a note for further study. Matthew 22, 1 through 13. Matthew 22, 1 through 13. This is a kingdom parable that a lot of people don't get. You see, Jesus said there was this king, and he wanted to throw a big party because the kingdom of God is like a party to share, not a burden to bear. You've heard me say that. And in Matthew 22, Jesus said the king's invitation, which was to the Jews, was rejected. So he said to his servants, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Tell everybody to come in. We're having a big party. So they go out and they gather up a bunch of people to come to the king's wedding feast. It's a very special occasion. But the story has a peculiar ending. Let me read it to you. Verse 11, but when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there was a man not dressed in wedding clothes. He said to him, friend, why did you come in here without wedding clothes? He was speechless. The king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness in the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he violates the dress code and he goes to hell. I mean, that seems a little severe. That's not what it's about. Do you know what that kingdom parable is saying? You don't determine the terms of salvation. You don't come to God on your terms. He's already stated the terms. And you just can't bundle up your sinfulness and say, oh, moi, I mean, what's not to love, and come to God on your terms. It doesn't work that way, friends. You see, once you understand the belt of truth, that God has a standard, you've got to then meet his standard, which is to be robed in the righteousness of Jesus. You got to get dressed right. And there's only one adequate dress, and that's the robe of Jesus. Well, let me press on. I've got to show you one other thing. So let's move from the first component, the transaction of salvation, to the protection of sanctification. Oh, this is everything, the protection of sanctification. Once you are positionally righteous, then you become practically righteous. In other words, once you understand that your sin is covered by the righteousness of Christ, then you start living for Him. You start doing what is right in your daily character and conduct. Let me explain it like this. The protection of sanctification, the word sanctification is hagios. And it's a picture of cleansing and separating yourself from the world and doing what God wants. When I was a teenager, a vulnerable teenager, I learned 1 Corinthians 6, and it simply says in verse 18, flee immorality. Verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I want to redefine something for you right now. You know, we live in a culture that is really pursuing the hipster. You know what the hipster is. And that's fantastic. I like being hip. But I'm going to give you a new definition of hip. Here's God's definition of hip. It's holiness, integrity, and purity. That's hip. And it'll never go out of style. Holiness. That reflects the character of God. Integrity. You see, that is your personal character. And purity, that's how you should relate to other people. Let me flesh that out. Here's how you can become a sanctified person, robed in the righteousness of Jesus, and then doing what is right. Would you make two notes here? Here's how. Make a daily choice. Make a daily choice. Let me tell you what I do. When I awaken in the morning, I basically say, God, it's Jay reporting for duty. I know that life can be tough, and I need help. Listen to this prayer. Lord, I've been so good today. I haven't raised my voice to anyone. I haven't called anyone rude names. I haven't yelled and screamed, ranted, or raved at anyone. I haven't even broken anything or hurt anybody. But Lord, I'm getting out of bed in about 5 minutes, and I'll probably need your help the rest of the day. We live in a fallen world. It's a tough place to maintain purity. So we make a daily choice. We basically wake up and say, Lord, I'm your soldier. I'm reporting for duty. And I want to be a person who is robed in your righteousness, receiving what is right and doing what is right. I want, Lord, to be a person of holiness, integrity, purity. I want my talk about you to match my walk for you. I heard this story about a lady who got arrested. She was driving in Montgomery, and she came up to this traffic light, and it was yellow, and the person in front of her didn't zip through, and she was in a hurry, and she got so fuming mad, she just started honking the horn at him, waving her fist out the window, and just saying some unkind, unchristlike things. And all of a sudden, she looked in a rearview mirror, and there was the policeman, and the policeman had his lights on, and she pulled over to the side. She said, Officer, why are you arresting me? He said, ma'am, I was behind you at that light. And I saw your bumper sticker. It said, honk if you love Jesus. God is my co-pilot. Follow me to my Sunday school. And I thought for sure after watching your behavior that somebody was driving a stolen car. Practical righteousness. How do you put it into play every day when people are mean and unkind? We live in a fallen world filled with temptations. And yet the call of God is to do right relationally, ethically, verbally, financially, morally, sexually. That's the call of God. Do right. Put on every day as a daily choice your vest of righteousness, holiness, integrity, purity. And then add this other note, because here's the result. Do you know what the result is? The result is that your Christ-honoring purity prevents. Make a note, it prevents. It prevents disease, guilt, frustration, regret, waste. Imagine how much heartache and devastation could be avoided if we walked with the standard of Christ-exalting purity every day, where you kept on your vest, your breastplate of doing what is right. I'll give you an illustration as fresh as yesterday. I got a word that on Friday night, my friend Mary Mercer and her daughter Amanda had been down Sandestin, just sitting at a light right by the Sandestin Hilton on 98, getting ready to turn to go eat. And sadly, wastefully, someone didn't understand 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20, that their body is the temple of God, and they tanked it up with a lot of alcohol, drugs, 7 p.m., daylight, but they're driving 70 miles an hour down Highway 98, making a whole series of bad decisions, and somehow they lose control of the car and hit 11 cars, including Mary Mercer and Amanda, members of this church. So I'm sitting there at 3 o'clock yesterday, actually about 2 o'clock yesterday, talking to her about a surgery that's scheduled for her because she's now broken her back and she's paralyzed from the waist down. Because of somebody's irresponsible behavior. No driver's license, no insurance, drunk, tanked on drugs, driving 70 miles an hour on Highway 98. Now there's something wrong with that, isn't it? But see, we glamorize that kind of stuff in our culture. That's so cool, that's so hip. No, it's not. It is destructive and it's wasteful. Tell you what hip is, it's holiness, integrity, purity. You see, purity prevents, it protects you, and purity provides. Make one last note. Purity provides. Instead of disease, you get health. Instead of guilt, you get confidence. Instead of frustration, regret, and waste, you get God's joy. Jesus said it like this in John 15:10. If you obey my commandments, you will abide in my love, and your joy will be complete. It's like a job well done where you didn't take a shortcut, where you did it just right, and you're proud of what you've accomplished. There's a sense of joy. Well, here's the bottom line. Make a last note. Here's the take-home point. You see, seek first the kingdom of God, and what? At the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, and what? His righteousness. That's the call of God. And all of these things will be added to you. That's your number one priority, friend, is to seek first the kingdom of God, to be re-robed. And then once you are re-robed in his righteousness, then seek to do what is right, being a person of holiness, integrity, and purity. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, in this fallen world, we need that vest of protection. Satan is like a sniper firing at your children. He's shooting at me, Lord. So I pray that you would seal these truths to our hearts, and we will promise to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, may we have the sanctified common sense to keep on that vest. And I pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.